Taco Pizza Hotline. Good morning, Coach. How you doing this morning?
Well, obviously, I'm doing great. Preparing for a final game, and I'm on TSN 1200. So thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. This is such a great story. Before we kind of get into the background and how your team has arrived here after 4 years, just take us through kind of Saturday night. So you guys have a chance to, I mean, it's a chance to advance to the Queen's Cup, the OUA's championship, but also to earn a spot at U Sports Nationals next week. How did you kind of keep your guys focused and not to get too far ahead of themselves?
Yeah, and the neat thing, too, is that it was a sold-out crowd. Probably half of the Concordia men's football team was right beside our bench, yelling at our guys right from the warm-ups and leading into first period. So the atmosphere was just electric. And, we talked about it right before the game of look at where we're at. Who could have said that, when we started this 4 years ago, we'd be in this position. Up 1-0 in a series where if we win this game, where we're heading to the national championship, where the eight best teams in Canada are going to be. So we really wanted to relish the moment and not feel pressure of any sorts, because we had home ice. So if we lost that game, we're coming back at home. We were pretty confident that we wouldn't lose two games in a row. So it was a tremendous game and a kind of a coach's dream to win a game 7-2, so you're not stressing out for 60 straight minutes.
I wanted to ask you about that, Patrick. What was your timeline? Like, you look at it 4 years ago, I don't think that you can imagine that you'd be at this point now, could you?
No, not at all. Last year we finished first overall in the OUA. I think we had only two regulation time losses. Really had a good team last year, as good, but we lost our top two centers in the first round. That kind of put us behind the eight ball for the second round. And, I really think we were as good last year, and those two centers were the player of our game at Concordia this past Saturday. So it's so hard to explain in a short period of time. But when I first got this job, Jacques Martin was part of the hiring committee, and he was he's been a really, really good mentor for me. And when it was time to pick players, Jacques said, "Well, Pat, no matter what, just pick kids with high character, because you don't know how it's going to turn out on the ice. So if you have high character kids, you might lose with dignity. You're going to lose with work ethic, and you'll be okay, and you'll be able to build with a good base." So that's what we set out right from the get-go, and look how it's turned out.
Talking to Patrick Grand-Maitre, he is the head coach of the University of Ottawa GG's men's hockey team. They have qualified for nationals. They'll play in the OUA championship game coming up this weekend in Guelph. When you talked about the types of players you wanted to bring in when the program was reborn and you were hired as the coach, beyond the high character, how difficult was it to recruit kids to what was then, I guess, a new program? Because, a lot of the more highly rated kids, I would assume, would want to go to a quote, established team. You're starting a new team. Take us through the process of trying to talk kids into coming to the University of Ottawa to play for you.
Yeah, sometimes it didn't even get to the talking part. In this day and age of being able to text message or emails, I got a ton loads of, "Hey, sorry, coach, but I'm going to look somewhere else," from the, the major junior players. Most teams in Canada are built heavily with, the OHL, the QMJHL, and the Western Hockey League players. And, I couldn't deny that level, so we went at it pretty hard right off the hop, but I pretty soon figured out that wasn't the bulk of the players that I would get from those leagues. So, we recruited across Canada, sent emails and text messages and called a lot of coaches, junior A coaches across Canada. And the one thing that I kind of figured out pretty quickly is that when coaches would tell me, "Listen, you can't go wrong with this kid. This kid is always in the gym. He's a leader. He's in community events. He's plays huge minutes for us. You won't go wrong with this kid. Might not be the best player because of the major junior factor, but you can't go wrong with this kid's character." And when I would hear that from coaches, then I would go a bit deeper on these players and watch him online and go watch him live. And that's kind of how it grew. We recruited three kids that won a junior A championship out east. They were from the same team. We got another kid from the Toronto Junior A League that had what led the league in goal scored in playoffs, and his coach was raving about his character. So just a bunch of stories like that it could not have turned out any better.
You can never underestimate the importance of good leaders on a hockey team. Can you maybe sort of single out the leaders of your team and maybe give us an idea of the impact that they've had?
Yeah, exactly. So the my first year, I had 24 rookies and one player that had came back from the team that got disbanded. And the player that came back, his name was Gabriel Vermette. He was the oldest player on our team. He was 24, turning 25. He was our captain year one. But of the 24 rookies, I think we had 15 captains that were, captain had a C on their jersey, and all the other guys had an A on their jersey. So all the kids were leaders from their junior A teams that had a lot of responsibilities, that understood what it is to carry out the reputation of a team, a program, and a city. So from day one, that was critically important for us because of the dark cloud that was, overshadowing our program. We needed guys that were able to withstand, a lot of the chirping or chants about what happened in our program. We heard that a lot in the first couple of years. A lot of people asking these players, why did you guys decide to go there? You kind of get painted in the same picture of maybe what happened to the team before. So it's hard for me to single out one or two guys just because, we have one captain and six assistants on our team, and a lot of people could be captains on our team. So it's just an overall group of good young men.
Patrick, how many of the 24 players that you brought in your first year are still with you now?
18.
Wow.
And so we have 12. We have, we talk about the hockey results here, but we have 20 guys this year that are earning a degree. A lot of university programs lose a couple players every year due to, grades or kids are not accustomed to the level and they just leave. We've had in 4 years, we've had one guy leave on his own will. Everybody else stuck around, or unfortunately, we had to make a couple cuts here to try and keep getting better. We have 20 guys earning a degree. Of those 20, 17, we know that 17 are leaving our program this year. Only three will come back. So we're getting a big, big batch of new recruits for next year. But recruiting's never been easy. It never been any easier than this, because the kids that are leaving have built a brand, have built a style of hockey that now a lot of the good players are calling us and want to come here. So it's a complete reverse from 2015, 2016.
We're speaking with Patrick Grandmaitre, the head coach of the University of Ottawa men's hockey team. They've qualified for nationals and will play in the OUA championship coming up this weekend. Talk about the, if you can, Patrick, the support of the university through all this. You mentioned the so-called dark cloud when the team was disbanded. You were brought in to try to reinvent and reinvigorate the program. Just kind of take us through the process of dealing with the university officials, the president, the athletic director, et cetera, and the support you received from them over the past few years.
Yeah, we couldn't have done it without that support. You combine that support with the support of our alumni, and just think about our alumni, right? When they disband the team, well, you're not just disbanding the team that played on the ice, but you're disbanding people that played hockey in the 50s, 60s, and 80s that are tied to this. So a good group of alumni were there from day one and supported us financially to create scholarships to get these good players. And of course, the university, put in some things in place for us to be able to start from scratch. And you gotta buy a lot of equipment. You gotta buy everything new. You gotta hire some staff. You gotta put in some things in place that support the team off the ice, whether it's nutrition, whether it's mental health stuff. The school and the athletic department and our different athletic directors. It's just been a total support from day one, and we felt like we could just focus on on building a national contender right from day one.
Getting through the first two rounds of the playoffs like you did, is there now a sort of a sense of being a team of destiny? And I'm just wondering about the confidence level that you have and the players have going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the confidence level is really high. We're the type of team that likes to change our systems according to who we're facing. We seem to find our way to really, nail down how hard we want to play and how we want to face teams. And everything's clicking right now. Sometimes as a coach, you're thinking, okay, well, we're due for a bad period here. We're due for a bad game. But even in the games that we've lost, I felt like we deserved to win. So we've been playing some really, really good hockey in the playoffs. But it wasn't that way in the second half of the season. We had a pretty good first half of the season. But coming back from the Christmas break, we were really up and down. And I credit the guys of not panicking. We've really wanted to focus on playoffs this year since we had such good success last year in the regular season. We felt like this year it was always a preparation for the playoffs, and the guys really seemed to soak it in, and it's been really good so far.
Patrick, you're playing for the OUA Championship in Guelph on Saturday. Both the teams have already qualified for the Nationals, which is next week. How important would it be for you guys to win the Queen's Cup this weekend, knowing that the ultimate games are actually next week?
It is critically important. Myself, I was a university hockey player from 2000 to 2005. I was lucky enough to go to three national championships with St. FX. My third time, it was in 2004, and that's the last time the GGs were there. It's quite the coincidence. But in 2004, I was lucky enough to win the whole thing. But the two prior experiences, we finished second in our conference and then second as well in Canada. And there's a feeling of, you did a lot of good things, but you just don't have your name on the trophy. And when you're older, you look back at it, it's like, man, if we could have, clinched that game, your name is written in history. And I really feel like this is the message this week, that it is really, really important for us to see it as a do or die situation. And we want our name on that trophy. I'm not shy to say it, and we really want to go there and win that trophy. And for this is kind of a reward for our players, but at the same time for the school and the alumni and everybody that's been behind us, that we don't want to finish second. We want that trophy. We want our name on it.
Well, my daughter plays on the women's team at Guelph. Are you ready for the Olympic-sized ice?
Yeah, that's a tricky thing. We haven't played a game this year on an Olympic sheet in our conference, but we were lucky enough this year to go to Germany to play three exhibition games, and we did quite well over there. So we'll try and go back in our memory bank of our three games in Germany. Guelph is a really, really good team, very deep team. They don't beat themselves. Sean Camp is an excellent coach over there. So it should be quite the matchup.
Yeah, keep it between the dots, right?
Exactly.
All right. Listen, I want to take you back, and I want to keep you on the line. We're going to take you inside the dressing room from the post-game celebration after you guys won on the weekend. All right. How's that? What does that say about the camaraderie of your team when you would have saw that, when you see that kind of play itself out on Saturday?
Yeah, exactly. And, I won't lie to you. I'm in the room for these post-game celebrations, and this one was special for me. I'm a pretty emotional guy, and I had a hard time not tearing up because I was in the corner in the room and looking at my team and all these guys that have put in all the work, and to see the joy in their eyes and then screaming and rejoicing. It's a pretty neat feeling. Coaching is such a wonderful job, and you get to do this with grown men, good people. And what a huge moment of pride for myself watching my players celebrate that way.
Well, you're an awesome ambassador for the school. The job is not done yet. You know that. Championship game this weekend down in Guelph, and then the U Sports Nationals next week. Really appreciate the time. Thanks for filling us in on your story at the University of Ottawa, and best of luck going forward.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate being on the show.
All right. There's Patrick Grand-Maitre, the head coach of the University of Ottawa men's hockey team, who will play on for the OUA championship this week.